Sports and Recreation Center on the campus of the College of Staten Island. It's time for the Dolphin Pod, the official College of Staten Island athletics podcast. With your host, David Pizzuto.
Austin Mick with a 9-point lead. Mick flying to the perimeter, gets it over to Latunji for three. Dolphins work it back up to 12 points.
In-depth stories, reviews and previews, interviews and so much more. It's all right here. And now for the Dolphin Pod, here is your host, David Pizzuto.
Welcome, Dolphins fans, to the Dolphin Pod. This is Season 2, Episode 11. We are broadcasting today on Friday, November 20th, 2020. Whatever day of the week, whatever time of day you're catching us, we thank you for being with us. I'm your host, David Pizzuto, broadcasting from my home in South River, New Jersey. And joining me, as always, co-host Nick Duran, broadcasting from Staten Island, New York. Nick, how are you?
Doing good, Dave. You know, excited to do another show. Got some great guests on today, so excited to see what it brings us today.
Yeah, let's talk about our guests today, because there are two powerhouses on this campus, and we hope to learn a little bit more about them and a little bit more about the work that they're doing right now on campus during this time of COVID. Rob Wallace will join us. He's the interim VP for Economic Development Auxiliary Services. He's the head legal counsel of the College of Staten Island. And Jessica Calora, who's the interim chief of staff and deputy to the president in Rob's former role on campus. So they both have athletics in common, as we report to both of their offices. And of course, they report directly to the president. So, two people, Nick, who are very deeply invested in what's going on day to day at the college and, of course, within athletics as well.
Yeah, like you say, very, very interesting group we got today. And, you know, it's crazy because we're a sports talk show. And, you know, the most exciting guests we can get are, people that are handling the day-to-day, not even the sports people. So it'll be a good talk with them. And again, like you said, we'll get a lot of insight and kind of see what they're doing and how much work they're putting in on a daily basis.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that COVID has really, shown us or gotten us to focus more on are the people that obviously exist behind the scenes. And, you know, when you're at a basketball game, when you're at a baseball game, soccer game, et cetera, you know, it's hard to forget that the very people who make that possible, who make the fields and the courts and decisions on funding and having us go Division II and things like scholarship and admissions, you know, there's a whole network of people who are diligently working every day doing that, not only for athletics, Nick, but for all the offices around campus, whether it's, you know, the counseling center, the health and wellness, dining services. You know, Rob and Jessica are deeply invested in that. Jessica, you know, at one point was also the head of human resources here at CSI. So literally coming in contact with every single employee. So they've got their hands on a lot of things. Athletics is just one of those things, one of their biggest things, obviously. But, it's great to know that these people not only exist and help make the college run, but also to recognize them and show appreciation to them, which I'm sure we'll do with Rob and Jessica.
Yeah, and you know, you could even add your name to that list, Dave. You know, you're a little more in the spotlight, but people who do the things behind the scenes and what you do on game days and to do everything else, and then what these people do on a daily basis to keep us up and playing, you know, us as coaches and our players really appreciate them and appreciate the work that they continue to do to get the campus going and then to get our athletic programs going.
Yeah, well, you know, I certainly appreciate you saying that, and obviously that includes yourself as well as part of the coaching staff. And I think that's the great thing about having this Dolphin Pod, is we're able to tell those stories, and every once in a while I get the athletes and the coaches on here as well. But with this pause in activity, it's really gotten us to put the microscope on them. So we're very anxious to speak to Rob and speak to Jessica, and they'll be on at the other side of the break when we come back. But before that, we want to talk about what is going on at CSI as far as competition and action is concerned. And that, of course, brings us to esports, something that Nick and I have been talking a lot about. Before we talk about the match that was this past week, let's get caught up on the weekly rewind with Nick Duran.
It's now time to rewind the week. your look back into the week that was at CSI. Here's what you may have missed.
On Wednesday, the night of November 18th, your undefeated Dolphins took on the Eagles of St. Joe's, Long Island, in an intense showdown for the ECC Conference Championship. In the opening round of Icebox, CSI jumped on the Eagles quickly, while on the attack, getting out to a 9-3 lead, before the Eagles bounced back, making it a close match until the Dolphins closed out the round 13-8 with a very strong play late from Tortosella and Ryan Liu. In the next map of ascent, the Eagles battled hard, keeping it close with a tie 6-6. CSI, however, proves to be on the defensive side once again and strong on the defensive side once again, where they bounced the Eagles right back on their heels, beating them in a round with a score of 13-7. Next up was another CSI choice of a map, and it was Haven. And what a great pick it was for the Dolphins, as they looked right at home, winning several rounds flawlessly en route to a 9-3 edge early. When the Dolphins flipped to defense, the Eagles fought back and seemed like there was too much of a hole for them to come back from. The Dolphins closed the door with a 13-6 win and took the match in straight points to secure the victory. Christian Dumadad was flexing his muscles all game long, having more than 20 kills in each round, and showed exactly why he was named the ECC regular season MVP this year. With this win, your Dolphins Valorant Esports team edges themselves into the history books as they've been named the ECC Conference Championship with an outstanding record of 10-0 and outscored their opponents this season 22-1 in just their first season of live competition. Congratulations, Dolphins. What a great season it was.
Yeah, thank you, Nick. That's a great recap. Sums it up, very well. And for those of us, of course, who got to see it live, it was just tremendous. It was the culmination of a great season, like you mentioned, 10-0, undefeated, in what was also ECC's very first Valorant season as well. So, you know, you talk about a little bit of history. CSI Esports will be the first ever team to take home an ECC championship, and the first team to take home a ECC championship in Valorant altogether. So that's a pretty nice feather in their cap. And, to go undefeated doing it is just tremendous. And it was the usual suspects, Nick. It was Christian Dumadag. It was Kyle Tortosella. It was, Hadid Dowd. It was, Steven DeVito. These kids have really been doing it, all year long, have just been tremendous. And it's just great to see. It's a great job by the facilitators of the team, obviously. Ryan Liu, player and captain/coach, Alberto Sanchez, esports coordinator, Sal Caruso, who first started the Gamers Club. So, what a tremendous job by all of them. And I told them on the pregame show, Nick, that we had taped, leading up to the game, that they had made really a believer out of me. I wasn't sure what to expect from esports. It was new and innovative to me. I had a ton to learn, but I found myself looking more and more forward to it every single week. And that's because these guys were just tremendous, and it showed on the screens whenever we watched.
Yeah, and like you said, same thing. I grew into such a fan of it, and I really appreciate exposure that they put out for our program and what they did for it at the very beginning of it. And, it's crazy to think that we sat here, just a month ago, 2 months ago, talking to Alberto and Sal, thinking about, do you have a shot this year? How do you think you'll be? And for them to turn around and have a season like they had with no experience together is really remarkable. And hats off to them. Really respect what they did this year. And I think I could speak for you as well. You turned us into true fans this year. So we appreciate what you guys did. And thanks for giving us a little light in the sports world while we're so dark.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And you kind of leave it at that. I mean, that's just a, awesome job by them. And also what I really liked is how much they kind of recognize what this does for the college. It's very easy. And, we've seen this with your basketball teams and any teams that have ever won a CUNY championship about, it feels great personally, but you're also doing it for the school, and these kids kind of get it. And it was great. It was great to talk to some of the kids and realize how strongly they felt they wanted to represent the school and how they want to lay foundation for the future of esports to be a more, you know, more respected, more well-recognized team of student athletes. And they really laid that foundation for us. And, you know, esports isn't over. In the spring, we'll have League of Legends. We'll have Rocket League. The ECC is exploring having a spring Overwatch League and maybe even a Valorant League if enough of the teams want to, field a Valorant League in the spring, because sometimes these players play multiple games, and so they might be, involved with League of Legends or Rocket League. But if the kids want to have at it in the spring again, the Dolphins might have to defend this title pretty quickly. Instead of waiting a whole year, they might have to do it each semester. But, you know, either way, it was a great exposure for those kids, great exposure for our program. It was competition when we otherwise didn't have any. So we're real proud of them. And Nick, I think you said it best. You know, they made us all proud, and, you know, we really respect it now going forward. And they're going to be, I think we're going to have esports, on the show, quite often in the spring, and of course, leading up to next fall as well.
Yeah, and definitely looking forward to that, now that we kind of understand the game a little more. And know what's truly going on. I think the more you get involved into it, the more you'll truly enjoy it. So, anybody out there listening that, didn't get involved, check it out and then check us out in the next season. And it's really a fun thing to be a part of, especially in the world we live in now. We don't know what sports we're going to have and when we're going to have them. So, get involved in this one. It was a great ride for us. And like you said, we're looking forward to the spring now and see what else we could bring to the table.
Yeah. If anything, it's a little bit disheartening and depressing, because now we have to wait until we start talking about competition again. We hope it'll be basketball. We hope maybe swimming can come online at some point this spring. Obviously, baseball and softball and track, but everything's a big TBA with COVID. But we'll see how that plays out. Maybe shedding some more light on the future and on COVID and on the campus will be our two guests, which are Robert Wallace and Jessica Calora. We mentioned them before, two members of the presidential cabinet here at the College of Staten Island, who will go over some of what they're up to right now during COVID, some of the some of the college happenings, and we'll learn all about what they do and how they do it and what's to come. So when Nick and I return from our first commercial break, Rob Wallace and Jessica Calora will join us right here on the Dolphin Pod. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com.
Champions know how to seize opportunities. When they see moments of greatness unfold right before their eyes, they push as hard as they possibly can, and then they push harder. Because the heart of a champion never settles, never quits, and never stops giving its all. We are champions. We are Division II. We go big, we give it everything we've got, and we win. On the field, on our campuses, in our communities, for our causes, in our careers. We rise to become champions in everything we do. We are Division II, and there are no limits here. We make our time count. We set our own path. We become champions on our terms. It's time to up your game, because we're here to play and learn. But most importantly, we're here to discover ourselves, our vision, our heart, our drive, to achieve every goal we aim for, because we want to be champions at the highest level, life. At Division II, the opportunities are here. Are you ready?
Welcome back to the Dolphin Pod, right here on CSIDolphins.com.
And welcome back to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com. And from wherever you are tuning into us today, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and the like. This is Season 2, Episode 11. We are premiering our show on Friday, November 20th of 2020. And it's time now for the featured segment for Nick and I on the podcast. It's the chance that we get to sit down and talk to a special guest, and sometimes guests plural, and that is the case for today's show. We have two distinguished guests who are joining us from the CSI administration. We have Jessica Calora on the line, the Chief of Staff and Deputy to the President, and Robert Wallace, the Interim Vice President, Auxiliary Services and Legal Counsel for the College of Staten Island. Rob and Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be
here. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Excellent. And thank you for taking the time. We know in this day and age, everybody's kind of, you know, bunched up with Zoom calls and remote work. And, you know, I guess we'll start at the beginning, though, even before COVID, and we start talking about that. And that is, you know, obviously you have some lengthy titles. And you know, I guess to introduce you properly to our audience is to let our audience know exactly how you came into these positions at the College of Staten Island. We know, you know, that you've worked in other areas on campus as well, and what exactly your day-to-day really consists of working hand-in-hand with President William Fritz. Jessica, why don't you go first for this one?
So that's a great question. First of all, I'm an alum of the College of Staten Island. I graduated in 1998, and after leaving college, I went on to law school. My dream was to become a prosecutor, which I did for about 11 years in the Bronx. Eventually, after having a family, my two young children, and commuting back and forth to Staten Island, which, by the way, I'm also a native Staten Islander, lived here most of my life, except for the 2 years I lived in the Bronx. Was looking to come closer to home. Stopped in working for 3 years at the fire department. And after 3 years there, was looking for different opportunities. And there was a job opening here at the College of Staten Island in the Human Resources Office. They were looking for somebody with legal skills and a background and disciplinary work. Mm-hmm. So I took a shot and been working here ever since. This will be my fifth year. There have been several opportunities for me to move up in different positions, and found myself here as a Interim Chief of Staff and Deputy President over the summer, which has been exciting, but also a very busy time, as you know, because we're in March, moved from working in the office to completely online and being remote. I work very closely with Dr. Fritz, and we have a lot of things that we're working on now, which are exciting and upcoming.
Rob, what about you? I know that when you first came to the college, it was in the role of legal counsel, which you still are, obviously, but several stops along the way for you as well in the short time.
Right. I started as legal counsel. Then I had the role that Jess has now as Chief of Staff for the President and Deputy to the President. For a little over a year. I started in 2017, so it's been a lot of change through the year, and it's a great opportunity, actually. Working with the President's bit was a great experience because I got to see the college from a different view, mm-hmm. as opposed to just the legal work and seeing all the exciting things that the college is involved in. Now, as you know, we lost Vice President Ken Awama, who was such an integral part of the college in terms of economic development and government relations. And with his departure, I had this opportunity to move in. So I'm happy to help out in that capacity because it's really a great experience. And still seeing how important we are to the borough and the entire community. So and working, you know, overall, you know, my career's been in government, and this is really, to me, an extension. I've always appreciated the opportunity to help the community that I'm in. I've lived on Staten Island my whole life, and working now in government relations and economic development, I just see that as a continuation of my prior experience.
Excellent. Excellent. And, you know, obviously, you know, with you both being a part of the president's cabinet, there's so much, you know, cross pollination and so many things that you're both working on at the same time. And obviously one of those things, you know, ties into us in athletics, where you both have overseen athletics. You both have been, you know, intimately involved with working with Charles Gomes, obviously our athletic director as well. Can you tell me about where kind of athletics has always fit in for you in your kind of, you know, in your everyday life, you know, whether you were sports fans, whether you ever kind of imagined being kind of, you know, a liaison to athletics at the higher ed level? Can you, you know, expand a little bit on this kind of experience working within athletics?
So I'd like to think of myself as an athlete. Fortunately, others didn't share that view. You know, I played baseball and football in high school, Mancini Farrell. You know, I continued playing in the men's league, baseball leagues, and have always really enjoyed sports. It's been an important part of my life. I think for so many people, it, you know, helps bring discipline, you know, in terms of workouts and also a sense of teamwork. I think that's always important in your life success. You know, there are very few things in your life that you accomplish on your own. It's always important in working with others. So, it's really been integral to my life. And now with my four daughters, who I've tried to keep involved in sports, whether it's track or soccer, and it's exciting to see them succeed in those areas. And now to be able to work at, you know, have some small role in what was already a great program at the college and see it move on to Division II, and how it affects the lives of not only our athletes, but our entire campus, because, you know, we'll probably get into this more, but, you know, Division II is just an opportunity to attract the best students to our program and improve the college overall.
Terrific. How about you, Jessica?
Back in the day, I was involved in gymnastics. Thereafter cheerleading, but never really into sports as much. But now I have two children, and one of my sons, my younger son Matthew, is very involved in baseball, and he loves it. And I find it to be so exciting that it, you know, watching my son play and just watching him grow and get better at it. And my husband, you know, recently retired and he's coaching, so it's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. I never saw myself being involved in athletics here at the college, but now that I am in this new role, I'm really excited because it's like Rob was saying, it's such a great program. It has, I mean, some of the greatest staff here at the college. Working with Charles has been great, and I'm really excited about getting back onto the fields and watching our athletes play.
Great.
Yeah, and you know, we're living in a different world now, and you know, Jessica, you talked about even stepping into a new position and learning the ropes. Can you just take us through like a little bit of day to day of what your work life is now and any projects that you're working on that you would want to be highlighted on the show?
In terms of the day to day, you know, we have a few focuses. One is obviously the health and safety of everybody on campus. After that, you know, making sure that people are safe is really student success and the student experience. How do we keep students engaged as we move along? And our faculty have been incredible, you know, moving their classes over from, you know, an in-person format to a virtual format. And, you know, now, as we're hopefully seeing the end of this pandemic eventually with vaccines, we're looking at what's the next step. What does the campus look like in fall of 2021? You know, and we were trying to make the most of a bad situation in the sense that we can reimagine a lot of our programs for some programs, you know, to continue online, where that fits, and there's student demand for things to remain online, as well as freeing up space for different programs on campus. So it's an exciting time outside of the Zooms. Our days are consumed with Zoom meetings. And, you know, I look forward to the day when we're back in person.
Yeah. And you know, you talk about the next step and, you know, and sometimes it's bigger than the ECC and the decisions come from bigger places than the ECC. And, you know, sometimes you guys might take the heat or Charles might take the heat on why is he making this decision, but people don't understand that it's bigger than, you know, just our campus making the decisions. You know, can you talk on some of, you know, decisions that are made, how it comes down, where are we getting information from, and what we're following to go step by step in this process?
Well, Charles's point on so many of these issues in terms of relating information and guiding, you know, good decisions. You know, an event, obviously, there's discussions, you know, what the ECC is doing. And frankly, they've been a great conference in terms of giving guidance, in terms of, you know, keeping students healthy and what we would need to do as we move into the next stages, whether that be practice or competition. There's also been, you know, monitoring of the NCAA guidelines, conversations obviously with the president and with CUNY Central. You know, we have some strong support from Central in regards to our move to Division II. And, you know, we've been very engaged with keeping them apprised of what we're doing and what we hope to do.
Great, guys. Great. And, you know, one of the things that I want to talk about as well is that, you know, COVID obviously has landed everybody with so much more responsibilities that they really weren't tasked with, you know, whatever, 8-10 months ago. It's just not something that's really on the radar that we're thinking about. And Jessica, you brought up a good point before about you know, having a son who plays baseball and having a family at home as well. And, you know, sometimes we forget that, you know, COVID not only affects our workplace, but also affects, you know, our private workspace and our home space and kind of the inter two are woven. Can you talk a little bit about what this kind of pause in you know, in the CSI physically opening has meant, you know, to you personally in that regard, about having to kind of marry, you know, your kind of household with the work, you know, with the workplace as well? I know it's dynamic for everybody and everybody kind of deals with it, you know, in different ways. Can you maybe speak to that first, Jessica, about, you know, working from home and what some of the differences are, what's some of the, you know, adaptability that has had to happen in order for that to still work, especially when you're working in something like the president's cabinet, where there needs to be a lot of synergy with different people?
It's definitely been an adjustment here for me at home and for work. I'm very lucky that my husband just retired, and so he's able to be, you know, here at home with the children while they're doing their online schooling, and, you know, staying on top of them, which has really helped me a lot and be able to concentrate on work. But you always have to remember that my most important job is being a mother, mm-hmm. and caring for my family and being there for them as well. And so, you know, while I do work, you know, late hours, or, you know, and sometimes weekends, I'd want to make sure that I am also present for, like I said, my son's baseball game, mm-hmm. or, you know, parent-teacher conferences, or the, you know, trick-or-treating on Halloween. So it's important to remember that, you know, you still have to be present. But when your office is basically in your dining room, it's very easy to, you know, forget that you have the, you know, toast in the toaster oven, mm-hmm. and, you know, you walk past your computer and you're, you know, responding to an email and, you know, realize where you are and where your mind, you know, get your mindset where you have to be at times.
Sure, sure. And, you know, we've done interviews like this with folks where, like, you know, the dog will walk in and start barking, or, you know, the other line will be ringing, or, you know, a small child might be in the background asking for food or whatever, because they need stuff. So, yeah, you know, it is an interesting time for all of us. And, you know, Rob, I think, you know, going off that same, you know, premise is, you know, and Jessica alluded to it, you know, you guys, when you work, I mean, it is not a 9 to 5, you know, it is a 9 a.m. to 8:59 the next morning job, you know, the phone's always ringing. How do you try and cut off sometimes from everything that's happening at the college? Because, you know, if you let it, I'm sure you would have Zooms up until midnight every night, and you'd always want to have somebody talking to. How do you set that boundary sometimes when you're at home?
You know, it is difficult. It has been more difficult, and I'm sure a lot of people can say this, you know, so who are listening, or, you know, family members who are working remotely, you know, first, to be frank, I'm thankful that we have jobs. You know, so many people have been affected by the pandemic. So I'm grateful that we have the opportunity to serve in some capacity. And then, you know, but that said, you know, this was always a time-consuming job and entailed weekends. And, you know, frankly, Jessica's a little too humble, because I know, you know, not only is she, you know, in her role as chief of staff, but with HR, having oversight over human resources, she's the person responsible for coordinating with the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene when we have somebody who tests positive on campus or, you know, within our workforce, and trying to keep everyone safe on campus. So, you know, she's getting those calls and is on the phone late at night or on the weekends all the time for issues related to that. And right now, I think there are a lot of people who can say it's hard to shut down. I do try and find times that, you know, where I say I'm going to put the phone down. I'm not going to look at my emails. I need this hour or two of break at night before I go back and look at what's coming up for the next day or what we need to respond to right now. It's a challenge, but again, I'm thankful that we have jobs right now. It's such a difficult time for the state and the country.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And, you know, it's something that I was just talking to Charles about, I think it was yesterday when we had our update meeting, about, you know, how this is not the kind of work that we sign up for in athletics, having to navigate reopening plans and things like that. But, you know, we have to remember, we still love what we do. And the fact that we're doing it is just a strong, you know, will to keep doing it and to keep at it. And with that in mind, let's turn the page a little bit and talk about some of the positive things that are happening around athletics. You know, we make this move to Division II, and one of the things that we tell recruits all the time is that, you know, this wasn't Charles's decision. It wasn't Dave's decision. It was really the president's decision, and a decision that came, you know, from the head of our administration, because they recognized a lot of great opportunities with Division II. And, you know, when this COVID cloud passes, and it will pass, there's still a lot to be excited about on this campus. And one of them is athletics. Can Jessica, can you go first on this one and just talk about, you know, what some of that excitement is all about, how the athletics program kind of marries into the overall strategic plan, you know, at the college, obviously, with so many of the tenets of opportunity to ascend the college's strategic plan. Can you speak a little bit to how exciting it is to have athletics kind of be one of the champions of that plan?
Well, let me start out by saying that Dr. Francis, he is very excited about Division II. He truly just, you know, loves the campus, loves the college, really wants to see the students succeed, and thought this was really just a great opportunity for everyone at CSI and the Staten Island community to move to Division II. Mm-hmm. The whole idea about, you know, CSI, behind CSI is to you know, have students succeed and to leave here with a great a college experience, a great education, and, you know, to really enjoy a CSI. Mm-hmm. One thing that athletics can bring to the College of Staten Island is help make us a destination campus,
sure.
which is one of our strategic priorities. It's a great opportunity to increase our enrollment, to reach out to top high school athletes in Staten Island, as well as beyond, internationally and nationally, and draw them to the College of Staten Island, whereas before it might not have been a school that they looked at. So we're increasing enrollment. We're bringing, great talented students here. It's going to bring a lot of pride to the campus. One thing that I know about college, going to games and cheering on, your teams, there's a lot of fun in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll bring that to the College of Staten Island, where we might have been missing that a little bit, and increase school spirit and increase people getting involved with our athletics program.
Excellent, excellent. And Rob, can you speak to that a little bit as well? Because obviously the move to Division II, came when, athletics was reporting directly to you as well. So you had a really big hand in kind of setting things up with the NCAA, making those initial reports and petitions with the ECC, being involved in a lot of those meetings as well.
Yeah, this is such an exciting move in my opinion, just because it increases our exposure. It's good for students, and it's good for Staten Island. I know Dr. Fritz was excited about the opportunity to provide scholarship opportunities to some of our students. As some of our best scholars on campus are our student athletes, and in that regard, Division II is just such a great fit because. Right. It's, the expression of life in the balance. It's really a good mix of both athletics and the focus on scholarship. So we think we're bringing great athletes to the campus. And last year, working with, a number of the coaches, seeing some of the great recruits we're bringing to campus, seeing interest from places like California, Texas, Florida, where we traditionally didn't get a lot of interest from, mm-hmm. knowing the increase in hits to the to our Dolphin website from interested students. So it's just a great opportunity for the college. And, outside of the college, when we announced it, we got so many calls from both athletic directors around the island, but also from our elected officials. Our borough president, James Otto, welcomed us to Borough Hall to make the announcement. There were just others like Joe Borelli, Steve Matteo. I don't want to leave anybody out, but really all of our – Mike Cusick has been such a great supporter of our athletics program. Really, you see the excitement. They support it, and they support it because they know it means good things both for the college and the borough at large.
Great.
Yeah, and I think Dr. Fritz, he's so behind the sports program. It's kind of crazy. I've been a part of three college programs over my career, and I don't know the other two presidents at all. I barely know their name, but Dr. Fritz, I feel like he's always around. He's all about sports. And same thing with you guys in the cabinet. You guys do a great job. And you touched on it with making it a destination school. And, I've been the assistant basketball coach for 7 years now, and this has definitely made recruiting a lot easier. Like you just said, we are getting talks from kids that we normally don't get talks from. And, that brings a lot of value to the school. So, Jessica, can you just touch on the value of athletics and bringing us to that next level as a school?
I think athletics is going to be such a big part of putting CSI on the map and really making us much more competitive when you compare us to other schools. It's going to bring value to our students' degree. It's going to increase enrollment. there are so many exciting things about athletics and Division II. It's hard to say, you know, it's hard to list them all, but I will say this as an alum, you know, the better the college does, you know, the better it looks on my resume. And you know, I feel like our students are really all of our students, not just those in athletics, but all of them are going to, you know, benefit from D2.
Again, I definitely agree with that. And what's your opinion on that, Rob, of the value of athletics and us moving forward with it?
Well, you know, it just is. It's another reason. I mean, there are obviously multiple reasons to come to our college. We have great programs in incredible prices in this day and age of increasing costs for higher education. And this adds to the attractiveness to the campus in the sense that, you know, we're setting ourselves apart from other schools. We're only the second Division II campus in the city. You know, and now we're also expanding our reach. You know, now we're playing in areas outside of the immediate just five boroughs. We're going to places upstate New York, more opportunities to compete in New Jersey. When we go as far, I think as far north as Connecticut, and then as far south as D.C. within our conference. So, you know, it's giving us an opportunity to stand out among other colleges. And the other thing, too, for our athletes, it's great that, you know, I know one of the things that was appealing to Dr. Fritz was the opportunity for more postseason competition. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's both will increase opportunities for our students, but thereby really putting the college in a different light in other areas that we traditionally didn't get exposure.
Yeah, and this is just kind of generalized, so you guys can take it, whoever wants to go first or second. But just how has the transition been for you guys? You know, some things that have changed for you, some things that you had to open your eyes on through the transition.
You know, I think part of this is the transition for me. You know, Division II has really put a spotlight. Dr. Fritz was always concerned with compliance. You know, and this was an opportunity to look at everything that we're doing as a campus, but also how an opportunity to look at what we're doing in athletics in regards to compliance, but also, you know, how athletics interacts with all of the other offices on campus, from recruitment and enrollment to financial aid to academic advisement. You know, and this has been a great opportunity to say, what are the things we're doing well and what are the things we can do better? And I know so many of the coaches in our program have worked well and continue to work well with some of the great people we have in the administrative offices. So it's been an opportunity to expand partnerships. And I think overall, it's just going to improve not only the services that we provide to our athletes, but overall the services we provide to all students.
I'm just stepping in this role. So I'm just, you know, getting to know everybody in athletics. The transition, you know, I wasn't really involved in the transition, but I will say just being able to, you know, work with your team and Charles and learning all about all of you and the students that we have here and who are, you know, interested in coming here. Just, you know, that's been just so exciting to me and something new to get involved in. Of course, you know, I came in at the time when we were in the pandemic. So they're really, you know, it's been about how do we keep our students safe? How do we get them, you know, back to playing while still following the rules and the guidance from the Department of Health? And so it's been a learning experience for me. And, you know, excited on working working on it together and moving forward.
Sure, sure. It's been a learning experience for just about everyone. And so, you know, we kind of take it day by day and just get ready for the future. And this is obviously provisional year two for us and hoping to move on to provisional year three. It's amazing how quickly the time passes. And actually, in this interview, we're up over a half hour already with you guys, and we only have time for a few more questions. So, you know, in athletics, sometimes we're guilty of you know, having blinders on and looking at solely athletics and being so invested. But you guys, as part of the president's cabinet, obviously have your eyes and your hands on a lot of programs at CSI. Rob, I'll start with you on this one. What are some of the other major sources of pride for you when it comes to some of the other things that we have going on campus, some of the other things to kind of get excited about? You know, obviously COVID notwithstanding, we have so many great things happening at the college, from the residence halls, from our some of our degree programs achieving some great success, awards by faculty. What are some of the great sources of pride other than athletics, you know, for you personally?
Well, the pandemic, first off, is one of the great sources of pride. Seeing how people have really adjusted their lives to make the best effort they can to make this as a good experience for our students, it would be the first thing. In terms of, you know, the college overall, we have some amazing people on campus that it just doesn't get out enough. I mean, when I was applying here, it was the first time I learned, that we had a Pulitzer Prize winning professor on Staten Island, you know, in terms of Fahemba Jess. Patricia Smith is also a recognized poet. Throughout the nation, we've got some of the top faculty that you could see anywhere and learn from at really, you know, the best price that you can get in the country just about. So beyond that, you know, we have great programs. Our engineering program under Neo Antonides is really starting to blossom, was recognized last year. Our social work program, we also just started a master's in education under Ruth Silverberg, which is really the first of its kind in the country, you know, in terms of leadership efforts in public policy. So, you know, we have so many great programs and innovative people on campus. It's a pleasure to work with those people in terms of making the college better and offering great opportunities to our students.
And the college itself has received a lot of national recognition, you know, for the value and academic excellence that we have here, including, you know, U.S. News and World Report. You can see all of our accolades in CSI today that we've recently received, like Rob was saying, for our programs, for the school in and of itself, for the providing to being a top school for veterans. You know, there are many accolades that we can, you know, boast about, and you know, award-winning faculty, as Rob was discussing, but also really great, hard-working staff. Some of the people that really, you know, you don't hear so much about, but are really pulling it together, really working so hard because of the love that they have for the school and the care that they have for the students. I mean, it's a lot of fun to be a part of that. We just recently released our 2020 virtual commencement ceremony that everybody worked really hard on. And it's such a great ceremony. It really was moving. We had some great students, our valedictorian and salutatorian, who spoke at the graduation. Really, if you haven't seen it, everybody should check it out. Really impressive students. We just have, you know, so many great people here at the College of Staten Island. So some great things happening.
Yeah, and just to follow up, when we talk about great things happening, they're all of our programs are great, but we also forget, you know, we're a comprehensive college and we offer people from all walks of life an opportunity to say, you know, I want to do something different, or I want to I want to learn something different, improve my skills. From workforce development programs, which have received many awards, to our associates programs, to bachelor programs, masters and doctorate programs, we offer it all. And you know, the idea that, you know, for me, you know, my experience before this was not in an academic background. So that said, I view as college as an opportunity for somebody to improve their life. Mm-hmm. And this college, because it offers all those different programs, I feel like it offers so much to the community and is the best opportunity for people to really take the next step in their lives and improve their own lives and the lives of their families and by extension the community. So it's just incredibly humbling to be part of something that has that impact.
Yeah, very, very well said by you both. And, you know, I can definitely say I checked out the virtual graduation as well, start to finish. And I was overwhelmed by it because I think especially in this day of COVID where commencement didn't happen at a lot of campus, it would have been very easy and a very good excuse to say, we just won't do it this year. It just wasn't in the cards. But to know that the college really worked hard to make it right for those kids who were graduating, I found it moving as a fellow alum, Jess. I could say that I was really proud of my institution for doing that. I thought it was really great. And like you say, Rob, I think there's so many opportunities that CSI affords. I know, you know, as the son, you know, of immigrants who came to this country who didn't have a lot, CSI was just a tremendous resource for me and my entire family is you know, CSI grad. So it's a tremendous source of pride, and I'm glad to hear I'm glad to hear you guys, you know, kind of echo what we already know basically. The last question I have as we're coming up towards the end is, you know, a lot of our students listen to this podcast. A lot of our student athletes listen to it. A lot of our student athletes' parents listen to it. And obviously, when they know that you guys are going to be on the podcast, their ears are going to perk up and they're going to say, oh, we're going to get information now on what's happening with the school and when are we opening and all these, you know, juicy details. But we know we're all in this holding pattern that we don't have, you know, all the answers. We probably might not have the answers for quite some time. But if you had a message to our student athletes, a personal message, if you had a message to their parents as far as what the future looks like for us and, you know, what the future of the College of Staten Island is in this pandemic and moving forward, what would that message be? What are some of your parting thoughts that you would have for our students, their family, you know, even our staff at CSI Athletics?
Yeah, I think the future's bright. I know the future's bright. You know, because of so many things that we touched on, and you know, you mentioned athletics and what is the future for our athletes? And really, in answering that question, makes me think of our past. You all are familiar with Jay Chasnoff,
sure,
one of our former athletes who attended the precursor of College of Staten Island and was on our basketball team. You know, and he's gone on to quite a successful career, and he's capped it off. And he met his wife, Lucille, who recently passed, and was such, both people were, been such wonderful supporters of the college and the School of Business, as well as the athletic programs. You know, and I think there's no greater example of the opportunities ahead of us than what they've done for the college. They gave a gift of $7.5 million to name the School of Business, I mean, Lucille and Jay Chasnoff School of Business. And that just shows two things. It shows, one, you can do anything with a degree from the College of Staten Island. You know, Jay and his wife both had successful careers. The other aspect of it is that, you know, clearly they both believe, you know, there's no greater way to show you believe in something by investing in it. Mm-hmm. And two very smart business people and two really wonderful people in the borough of Staten Island said, they put their marker on the College of Staten Island and said, I believe in the school and I'm investing in it. So to me, you know, it's a great example that the future is bright for us. and that the opportunities for our students will always be there and they can go as far as they want.
It's true that we don't have any inside information. I wish I knew when we were open up and go back. I wish I had that crystal ball, but we don't. My message to the athletes and the rest of the student body is to hang in there. We are not alone in this. We are all together. Other colleges are going through the same thing, other universities across the nation. Right now, what's important is that the College of Staten Island is focused on their health and their safety and keeping them safe. Right now is the time to be focusing on their school, thinking about their futures, focusing on their studies, getting to know their coaches, developing and creating friendships and getting to know their classmates and their professors, making those connections that in a few years that are really going to help them through and get through the college years and to graduation and help them succeed, because that's what it's all about, right? So being successful in school, graduating and getting on the path to the rest of your life and your career and following your dreams.
Terrific.
And can I just add something to that, Nick? It's that these students aren't alone. Yeah, it's important, frankly, for our staff too. Nobody's alone. We have a lot of support out there for people who need it. You know, we have an incredible counseling program on campus. So, you know, if people are, you know, there's a huge support network here for our students, and I just encourage people. You know, this is a hard time to get through, and we are going to get through it, but if people need support, there's no harm in asking for a little help every now and then. Sure. So I just want to remind anybody who's listening to this that there's people out there that can provide help, and we have a lot of those people on campus, so they should take advantage of it.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And I know our student athletes have taken advantage of some of the resources too, especially during this online time. And it's great to know that they're available. Well, Rob and Jess, you know, I just want to thank you. I know how valuable your time is these days, and to take, you know, an hour out of your day to speak to us is great. I know, you know, I could share with you that when we're on, you know, cabinet calls in athletics, when our coaches are on the same Zoom and our, you know, assistant and associate directors are there with Charles, we're always mentioning just how great it is to be a part of such a positive environment where we have people, you know, who oversee us, like the president, like yourselves, who are, you know, not only so deeply invested in the college, but deeply invested in what we're doing and have that great oversight. So for all the things that you're doing behind the scenes, which is so much more than athletics, we want to, you know, really say thank you to you both. You know, it does not go unnoticed. Sometimes it may seem thankless, but we're truly, you know, indebted to the work that you guys are doing behind the scenes to take care of us, to keep us safe, and to know that when we do get back, it's going to be, you know, we're going to be the better for it. So, you know, thank you both for taking the time and really doing what you do every day at the college.
Thank you so much for having us, Dave. And this was really great. And you guys are all doing a great job. So we appreciate that. Thank you.
Definitely.
Yep. So much appreciated. Again, Rob and Jess, we're going to let you go. When Nick and I come back on the show, we will wrap up this episode of the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com.
In NCAA Division II, student athletes leave a lasting impression on their communities. That's because Division II student athletes want to make a difference and truly be part of their surrounding communities. Through community engagement, thousands of student athletes from various backgrounds interact with community members who view them as role models. This interaction leaves a positive and perhaps even life-changing impression on all those involved. In Division II, we rise to the opportunity and make community engagement ours.
Welcome back to the Dolphin Pod, right here on CSIDolphins.com.
Welcome back to the Dolphin Pod, right here, Season 2, Episode 11. We premiere on Friday, November 20th, 2020, the week before the Thanksgiving holiday. Nick, we have a lot to be thankful for, and part of what we have to be thankful for are people like Rob and Jessica Calora really doing what they do at the College of Staten Island. Not only do we report to them in athletics, but so many other agencies on campus do, and we know how busy they are, and you know, we know that they're doing a fantastic job, and as always, they have the best interest of the faculty, staff, and the student athletes and the student body in mind.
Yeah, and like you said, just the time that they can give us, it's so appreciative of what they can actually share with us as well. Like you said, like we ask them questions and you know, they give us the direct answer. And same thing, like they wish they could give you an answer, but sometimes there is no answer in this mm-hmm. time and age. So it was great to hear from them. Great to hear that side of things. You know, we're in the sports program, so we know how much the president's cabinet is all about us. So it's good to hear it on the air so that everybody else could hear it as well.
Yeah, for sure. And we hope that from time to time during our podcast, you know, maybe two or three times in the future, we can have a member of the CSI cabinet or the CSI community to kind of jump on. And, you know, in this respect, it meant a lot to us because of COVID and what's happening and some of the questions that we need answers there. But sometimes it's nice to just know what the pulse of the campus is outside of athletics, because, you know, as that goes, so does our athletics program. You know, we kind of follow the lead of our president and strategic plan, and we forget sometimes that there's, you know, this whole world out there that's doing the same things on campus. And I think Rob and Jess did a really great job of kind of, you know, alerting us to some of those great things that are happening, not just in athletics. So it's really nice to get to hear that sometimes and gain their perspectives.
Yeah, it's funny because we talk so much sports, you know, we kind of forget that the school has to open up for us to have sports.
Right.
So to get that side of it was great. And, you know, they're working hard every day and they're doing everything possible, again, to keep our student athletes safe and to open up in the right way.
Great. Great. So so we hope you enjoyed today's show. Next week, we'll have a Thanksgiving show. We'll record it before the holiday so we can all enjoy our turkey, of course, with 10 people or less in the home, Nick, you know, as we know here in New York and New Jersey. But, you know, we do know, all kidding aside, that, you know, our numbers are up in the tri-state area. We want everybody to be safe. But even more than that, we want everybody to have a happy and healthy Thanksgiving holiday. You won't hear from us until after, you know, after the holiday itself. So we want to wish everybody out there a happy Thanksgiving. When we come back on the Dolphin Pod, we're going to be really focused on the announcement of our Hall of Fame. We know that's imminent. You know, within the next couple of weeks, we plan to get that out as people are starting to get alerted as to who's in and we get that information out. So we will cover it on the Dolphin Pod as well. So a guest TBA next week, but we will have a show that you can listen to over the weekend. For everybody affiliated with today's show, for Robert Wallace, the you know, vice president for community engagement, auxiliary services, legal counsel, for Jessica Calora, chief of staff, deputy to the president. For Nick Duran, I'm David Pizzuto, wishing you a great rest of the weekend. Happy holiday, and we'll see you next time on the Dolphin Pod.
You've been listening to the Dolphin Pod. Remember to check us out next week when we bring you a brand new show. And check out our archive broadcasts throughout the year at www.csidolphins.com/podcasts or on any of the broadcast channels, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, Breaker, and Google Podcasts. If you have questions, comments, would like to be booked on the show, or have an idea for a guest you'd like to see on the show, be sure to leave us feedback and catch all of our shows right here at csidolphins.com/podcasts. From all of us here at the College of Staten Island, thank you for listening to the Dolphin Pod.